This is the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast, helping you run your restaurant better.
Welcome back to the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast. We thank our audience every single time for listening, because I realize that there's tens of thousands of different shows out there that you guys can listen to, and we appreciate you guys giving us 45 minutes to an hour every time we post one of these. As we've been doing for the last 2 or 3 years at least, we are joined by another special guest, and I'm going to let him introduce himself here in a few minutes. Love the feedback. And again, if you guys have guests that you guys want us to have on, please send them to me, either LinkedIn, Jeremy@therestauranttechnologyguys.com, on Twitter. Love the feedback both about the show as well as other guests that you guys want to have on. As we talked about, the last couple of years have been a little bit different because we've been having regular guests on, and today's show is no exception. Today we are joined by Laurent May, the CEO of Ready. Laurent, why don't you introduce yourself and tell our audience a little bit about yourself before we talk about Ready and kind of what Ready does for the restaurant technology business.
Thanks, Jeremy. Great to be here. My name is Laurent May. I'm the CEO of Ready. I'm a technologist, and my background is really on the payment side. Ready started about 3.5 years ago, and we're focused on connecting guests to restaurants directly on their phone. And this has been a really exciting space, even pre-pandemic, but certainly, during the pandemic, the QR code made a huge comeback, and now you can see those on every single table. But not all QR codes are created equal, so we'll talk a little bit about that as well.
Absolutely. Well, I heard the audible boos over the sound waves of the payment people, because a lot of people, you know, some people love the payment guys and some people don't like the payment guys. But part of why I don't think that a lot of people like the payment people is because they don't necessarily deliver a whole lot of value. And I know even from just our pre-show, you guys are delivering just significant amounts of value. So it's not just a cost center, but really a driver on the business side. Why don't you talk a little bit about kind of where you became a payments nerd? Because I think it really is going to go into kind of delivering the ideas that you guys are bringing to market with what you guys are doing at Ready.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. If you think of payments as a cost center and necessarily evil, I think you're kind of missing what the opportunity is. Mm. Payments and guest experience. You got to think about, what does every single guest need to do? There's a whole list of things that they need to do, but one thing they need to do, most hopefully, is pay you for the great service that you provide them. And that experience can be quite painful at the end of your great meal, right? So you've had a great meal with 4 or 5 of your friends, and you need to get over to the baseball game, and it's time to leave, and you need to split the check, you need to get attention of the server, you need to be able to make the payment on the credit card device that maybe is still not EMV compliant and not secure. And so there's a lot of negative sort of experience that happens at the very end that impacts your impression as the restaurant operator with your guests. And this is an opportunity where you can take that negative and make it into an absolute positive and make it a memorable experience by giving guests control and allowing them to pay directly on their phone, which is something that we started and we think is a really exciting area for restaurants moving forward.
I love that. Well, I'm gonna give you a couple of minutes to talk about what Ready is doing. Give me a little bit of a background of where it came from, because it sounds like you guys have been around doing this, you know, for a while. It's not like it's your first rodeo, and obviously the restaurant industry over the last couple of years has gotten their behinds kicked as it relates to COVID and the different legislation that's happened. So tell me a little bit about the history of Ready and kind of what Ready does, because I'm certain as we get deeper into it, you're going to continue to see why there's more value on the payment side and that guest experience. As many of our longtime listeners know, it is more about the guest experience than it is about just about anything else.
Yeah. So I think we really started on that real pain point that our founder identified, who's now our CTO, Garrett Rogers. He was at a local restaurant here in Vancouver, based in Vancouver, BC. And he was with his 2-year-old son, and his 2-year-old son had a meltdown, and it was time to leave the restaurant. And Toby, his son, was throwing macaroni all over the place and he's trying to leave, right? And it's a busy Friday night at a casual brand, and you can't get they're understaffed, just like every restaurant, you know, that we have out there. Now it's even worse, where staffing levels are low and service levels are low just due to availability of labor. But at the time, it was just an understaffed server that was trying to serve 14 tables.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, something like that.
And that should be a crime.
Yeah, and he's a CTO, and Garrett's sitting there, and his background is working on different point of sales. And he's sitting there, he's like, I got to solve this problem. Like, this is insane. I've been sitting here waiting for my bill for 20 minutes, and I'm unable to pay it. So, spark of the idea, hey, I'm gonna come up with a solution that allows me to be in control and pay the bill whenever I'm ready, not when the server is available for me and I can leave on my own turn. So that's the spark of the idea. Since then, we've certainly expanded our products and service to include a really world-class digital menu that allows you to merchandise your menu in a very visual way. So instead of just having I think we've all had this. We sit down at a table, the server asks us to scan the QR code on the table to be able to look at the menu, and we're presented with a 20 meg download of a PDF that I need to pinch and zoom, and there's no actual value. That's actually a much worse experience than getting a paper menu. And so we see that as an opportunity to actually digitize and make and merchandise your incredible food, your incredible brand, in a digital menu that allows you to have pictures and calorie counts, and be able to filter by dietary needs and run your specials and schedule happy hour and feature items. And so that's what we've done. We've taken as an additional product that we've added in addition to pay, is the ability to really show your products and services in a great way, using the QR code and making it integrated into your point of sale. So that's been really great for us. We've spent a lot of time on that, being able to partner with restaurants to allow them to show their products and services in such an awesome way, like having every item have a beautiful picture and all the searchable and all the descriptions that are required that you can't fit on a menu, but you can on a digital menu. It's essentially an infinite amount of space you can provide for your product. So that's been really successful as well.
I love that. And again, over the last couple of years, we've seen, as you alluded to in the beginning of the conversation, we've seen a lot of adoption of what some may have said, was a dead technology in the whole QR idea. Mm-hmm. And more people have used it, because really it's going to launch an application, launch a URL, launch something on a digital device that's going to allow you to interact with the brand. We talked about guest experience in kind of the intro of kind of what Ready does, but there's multiple touch points that Ready can help solve. There's the onset, I don't know where you guys are at on the onset of somebody coming into the store, but you've got the ordering process, you've got the payment process, you've got the wrap up process. Why don't we talk through kind of all of the different touch points and where Ready is helping solve those things? Then we'll dig a little bit more into what that guest experience gets enhanced by, and quite frankly, even some of your guys' learnings over the last couple of years, because I'm sure you guys thought certain things were going to solve certain problems, and then they solved a different problem, or they solved it in a unique and different way that maybe people hadn't thought about. So why don't you walk us through kind of the guest experience as a brand that's fully adopted the Ready tech and where it goes.
Yeah, so I think the one thing that's really interesting about restaurants and being relatively new to the space is, restaurants are a million different restaurants doing the same things a million different ways.
Yep.
So one of the things that we needed to figure out is, how do we create a platform that allows restaurants to sort of opt into what makes sense for them on this journey of digital transformation inside the four walls? You think about pandemic, you think about what was happening from a digital transformation perspective. It was all happening off-premise, right? Third-party delivery, pickup solutions, first-party delivery solutions, the rise of DoorDash, the rise of Uber Eats, et cetera. But there hasn't been a lot of focus on the digital transformation inside the restaurant. And it's an opportunity to meet customers' needs where they have expectations for digital transformation, but it's also an opportunity to improve your guest experience. So as we talked about, we have we kind of bookend the experience. We're not here to replace service. Restaurants is fundamentally a social a social experience. We're not turning this into a cafeteria, but what we want to do is supplement and support servers and support human service with technology where it makes sense and elevate the guest experience. So the first place we do that is with the digital menu that we just talked about. Merchandise and provide the best possible impression of your food and your service to the customer on their own mobile phone. We also have the ability, and this doesn't work for every single brand, but if you do want to provide order to table, so this is for more casual brands. So we turn that digital menu and we supercharge it with the ability to order to your table. One thing that's different about Ready's QR codes is they're all unique. They're all individualized for the table. So every single QR code knows where it is in the restaurant. So I know if I'm at a bar versus your fine dining room. And I might show a different experience for that. In your bar, I might offer the order to table experience where I would scan the QR code, look at my menu, and actually place an order fully integrated into the point of sale, opening a tab. But in the fine dining side, I know where that QR code is. So maybe I'm just going to provide the digital menu experience and allow the servers to provide the service. So that's where that flexibility of the platform comes in, and the ability to deploy different experiences to different locations. And then what we do at the end is the payment experience. And it was really interesting when we started, when we were comparing the sort of checkout times or the guest times for people that paid with Ready versus people that paid the traditional way, there was about a 20-minute table turn improvement.
Oh my goodness.
And it actually kind of shocked us at first. We're like, it can't be that high. And then we actually just went into these restaurants where we were seeing these numbers, and we just observed. We just saw what was happening. And there's a difference between when you actually get the ability to pay your bill and pay it and leave. That only takes maybe 5 to 6 minutes. But it's when you want to pay the bill. As soon as you want to pay the bill, you can pay the bill. And that's where the 20 minutes comes from. And so that's the other thing that also surprised us. We're driving a lot higher tips as well.
Yeah.
So why are we driving higher tips? It's like people aren't frustrated at the end of the experience.
Yeah.
So they feel like they had a great experience. They're not tied down by the lack of service, and they can leave when they want. So that was really interesting. We see tips that are up to 40% higher for checks that are paid with Ready versus not Ready, which is a big deal when you're trying to retain and attract service staff. Is lightening their load. They don't have to do these mundane tasks of running payments. They can actually provide service to their guests, and it's a net positive from a take home pay perspective. Ready's putting more money in servers' jeans at the end of the night just by providing more convenience.
Well, I'm gonna make you take a step back for a second and describe what you would call digital transformation. We had Carl and Meredith from the digital transformation book that they wrote and released sometime in the last 6 months or so. They have had a different definition, not even a different definition, but I'd love to go through what that digital transformation means to you, Laurent, because I think everybody defines it differently. As you alluded to, you've got some brands that want just the order, some brands that just want the payment, some brands that want the payment and order only in a certain part of the restaurant,
right.
Maybe on the patio, but not in the dining room. And so, there's a lot of different aspects as you talk about digital transformation. The traditional guest experience is I walk in, I go to the host stand, they seat me, they hand a menu to me. Somebody walks over and takes my order, walks away. 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, they may come back with my drinks. They may not come back with my drinks. Now they come back and ask me what I'm ready to eat. Half time I'm not ready. And then they got to come back. And sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't come back fast enough. Last night I had a very similar experience with my family where I really wanted the check and I wanted to get out. And I had to stand up and go find the server. And the worst part is the restaurant only had two other patrons in it other than my family of five. And I'm like, how is there two people standing here looking at us waiting for us not to be able to pay?
Yeah.
But talk to me about where you would define the digital transformation, because I think to each restaurant, as I'm sitting here listening as an audience member, different restaurants are going to experience digital transformation in different ways. So why don't you talk about how you define digital transformation, because I think it'll really go into, us digging a little bit deeper in that menu aspect and how do we order, and then the payment aspect and how do we order, and then guest feedback and what does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think just at the highest level, all industries are transforming digitally, right? So I think if we look at traditional you know, industries like news and print and television. We've seen a huge trend to sort of electronic versions of that, and the rise of TikTok and 6 minute videos. And that's it's just a cultural trend that we think, you know, that we see that everything is not only becoming digital, but it's also being paired with the rise of the smartphone. Right, every single year. The amount of time that people use on their smartphone is eating into every other traditional sort of entertainment space, whether it be gaming or movies or TV. And the average American, the average Canadian uses their smartphone like 6.5 hours a day, which is a staggering number. Yeah, and it's going up every single year by about half an hour. to the point where it's going to consume all hours of our life. And I think that's just, you know, that's not necessarily a good thing or a bad thing, but what it is just how powerful these solutions can be. And I think the important thing for operators out there is, like, how do you harness that and how do you take that to your advantage? You know, we spent a lot of time on making sure that we can meet the needs of our operators where they're ready to transform. I think, you know, you can go from just doing a digital menu to all the way to, you know, robots making your pizza and delivering your food. There's a huge spectrum of how technology can work in the back of house and the front of house. One thing that I saw when I came into this industry is the amount of vendors and the amount of the technology stack in restaurants is very, very high. Like,
there's, yes. And, you know, and a lot of point solutions that don't talk to each other very easily.
Oh, the lack of integration here has completely held us back as an industry. Just not having standards and not having APIs that allow everyone to interoperate with has definitely been a challenge. But I think it's starting to open up, and as more restaurant operators move to the cloud with their point of sales, I think they'll become even better. But for us, it's really about meeting the readiness and. Going back to our name about ready, it's like, are you ready to use these products and services and put the guest in control? I think is a really important thing. So the spectrum of a digital menu all the way to self-ordering and self-pay is something that I think every restaurant operator needs to kind of figure out where you land. We've had brands that just started with a digital menu and payment, so bookending the digital experience or the experience on either side, but it went so well they're like, hey, let's change our service model. That's a big commitment, changing your service model, because the product and service came in and made them more efficient, so they turned their servers into food runners and made a little bit more of a casual brand, but their sales went up, their labor costs went down 10%, and they were able to keep their doors open because they're having such a service issue or labor issue. So, you know, digital. I think you're right. Digital transformation is a very broad term, and I think you really need to evaluate what you can do as a brand when you're looking at these solutions. But you have to adapt, or I think you're going to die. Customers are looking for these types of solutions. They've been trained by all of us for third-party delivery and first-party delivery, and just the rise of smartphones in general. That, you know, it only makes sense that it's going to permeate every part of the guest experience, and it's just up to operators to opt in and use a vendor that has sort of these different spectrums of where you can leverage these things. I think it's about elevating the guest experience, but it's also about using technology to make you more efficient, right? I think that's really a two-headed sort of value proposition that improves guest experience and should reduce cost over time.
I think you make a very valid point that at the end of the day, the guest is looking for it. If you can't deliver the Amazon Easy experience, the DoorDash Easy experience that I get the food when I want it, how I want it, you know, with the modifications I want it, you end up dying on the vine. I mean, it's funny because I think about, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the other value propositions that you guys have brought on the ready side, but I actually equate it oftentimes, and restaurants historically have been such laggards, whether it's in, you know, casual dining, fast casual, fast food, unless you're a really big chain, and then, you know, they've realized that they have to get into the innovation game. You know, it reminds me of the days when Uber and Lyft launched and all of the taxis were fighting this. And then they realized, you know what, the guests want this. And so they're willing to pay a little bit more. They're willing to engage and do a little bit more of the work in order to get what they're looking for versus now. And I just saw a news article recently that now you can hail a cab in New York City with Uber. But you think back 10 years ago when that launched, or however long ago it was that it launched, everybody was like, oh no, this is terrible, this is terrible, this is terrible. But ultimately, the guest and the meeting the guest where they want to be is critical to the success of the innovation of the brand. Wouldn't you agree?
I completely agree. The Uber example is really interesting because it's kind of come full circle.
Absolutely.
It's like technology is a huge disruptor, but it's providing a way for all, the whole ecosystem to participate in the digital transformation and meeting, like you said, meeting customers where they expect it. And I think that's the key here. If you're a brand that's trying to push, we all spend so much money getting a customer into our doors, and then most people don't become a repeat customer. What are we doing about that? How are we elevating the guest experience? What are the loyalty programs? What are the things that the digital experience can unlock and reinforce that relationship that you have with guests? I think that's a big question moving forward is sort of this relationship about customer ownership with third-party delivery companies and how that's going to work inside the restaurant.
Yep.
Restaurants obviously got lots of benefits from third-party delivery over the pandemic, but it hasn't been an equal, in a lot of cases, it hadn't been an equal value exchange. And then sometimes restaurants are sort of upside down on the financials of that relationship, but also upside down on the customer ownership aspect of that relationship. And so I think I would encourage operators to think about how do they have digital programs like loyalty programs, like Ready, for example, is integrated into Punch and Spendgo loyalty programs that we can actually deliver right at the table without completely self-service. So that's a really interesting space that we want to really push and explore this year and next year is how do we make these digital loyalty programs seamless and really effective for full service restaurants. I think obviously quick service, they've got that completely nailed, the McDonald's experience, the Starbucks experience, but I don't think the full service loyalty experience has really been nailed. And I think it's a huge opportunity. And I think why it's been so complicated to roll out is you have to rely so much on the server to manage the program. How many points do I have? Here's my phone number. You're providing personal information. All this, it just doesn't work in a modern age. But you can offload that in a self-service environment to the customer who's in control of the data and control of the experience. It really unlocks a huge opportunity for brands that I don't think, we're as a vendor or as an industry, we're not serving that full service restaurant, I think, very well at this point. And that's something that we're looking at and innovating on.
Yeah, I'll give you a piece of tech that I saw just recently at a brand that I was at is I had the app on my phone and I said, check into the restaurant. I pulled up a QR code and the server with the tablet in their hand scanned the QR code. And now I was checked into loyalty on my check. And it was just a really cool experience. And I think that as those two worlds come together, I'm in full agreement with you. That I think that whole idea of even the reverse loyalty where they kind of know who you are. I know that there's some other people out there that are looking to figure out, through beacons and through check-ins on social and some of these other ways to know who the people are, is kind of cool. You talked about the pandemic really accelerating the adoption of tech. I think one of the other great accelerators over the last 12 months has absolutely been the great resignation, as it's been dubbed by the media. Talk to me a little bit about, because I think, even going back to the Uber example, what are the taxi drivers that spend $1 million on their token going to do? They figured out how to make do. The same thing, I think, kind of happens within restaurants. And oftentimes when you're trying to put technology in the hands of the guests, you get the argument, whether it's the robots or it's the, Flippy, the burger flipper, or, go down the list of the different ways that, and you hear these people, we're just trying to get rid of people. Well, now there's no people to show up, and now you can't even hire people to work in the restaurants. And so if you didn't take on some of these things, and so talk to me a little bit about what I don't know, not just the benefits, but where having already adopted some form of digital transformation has allowed you to be flexible. Back to the founder's the founder's example of server trying to serve 14 tables on a Friday night. It's impossible. It's impossible to give any kind of guest experience. Now that is more often the case. But with the accelerator of technology, and not technology for technology's sake, but technology that can really solve guest experience problems, you can serve 14 tables efficiently because you're only doing the things that you need to do, or, you know, they're doing the majority of the technology work, and you're running food and running drinks and those kind of things. So talk to me a little bit about how the Great Resignation has accelerated the adoption of the tech that, that Ready and others that are in the space have done.
Yeah, I think that's a good, I think that's a great point. Like, I mean, we have some proof points around our, you know, labor savings you know, sort of total cost savings for operators. But I think the real core thing here is it's not either or. Certainly there's a labor shortage, and my perspective, I don't have a crystal ball, but that is not going away anytime soon. Yep. This is a long-term trend that restaurants, operators, and all sort of verticals need to deal with. And I think this is where technology can step in and not replace servers, but support them and support staff in a way that can elevate service and reduce the amount of mundane and low value. Let's be honest, low value tasks that the staff is doing that does not contribute to the experience. And in most cases actually detracts from the experience because it's actually hard to deliver in a time efficient manner. So, the Great Resignation, labor crunch, whatever you want to call it, getting more efficient in your restaurant is table stakes now. You need to lean on operational changes, technology investments to be able to survive this labor environment. And there's lots of different sort of choke points and pain points that vendors like Ready can support. It's not just payments and menu, but these are the ones that touch your customers the most. These are the ones that you get benefit from as an operator, and staff get benefit from, but also guests do at the same time. So it's a really powerful sort of choice to make within your restaurant to reduce your labor spend by between 6% and 10%, but also increase your guest experience and your tips at the same time. So that's been a really interesting sort of realization over time is how to you've got a limited budget, not only financially but operationally. What can I implement this year, right? You've got to make these questions all the time when you're looking at technology. And I think the investments that you make that touch the guest or interact with the guest are the ones you want to prioritize first, because that's going to create the best guest experience and those repeat customers that we work so hard to get. And with Ready and solutions like Ready that also have a benefit on the bottom line from an operational cost perspective, I think it makes the most sense for prioritizing that from an investment perspective.
Well, and I think one of the things you alluded to earlier, Laurent, that I'd love to remind our audience about is the fact that tips are going up. So your mm-hmm. staff retention should be higher for what amounts to a little bit less work, or, you know, if it's mm-hmm. done right, it's less work, but they're making more money, which yep. should mean in theory that you're able to retain them longer within your dining rooms and within your staff, which is a huge unintended, you know, side effect of implementing these kind of technologies. So not only can you get by with less, the people that are there are making more money and should ultimately be happier with what it is that you're doing.
Yeah. So great point. I think we didn't go out. We were trying to solve a problem, and this was a happy accident. Wow. Tips are up 40%.
Yeah. Yep.
And so staff are happier, because they're getting, you know, staff are happier, and they're more money in their jeans at the end of the night, but guests are happier too. And the way, how do we know that? Great question. Well, at the end of every payment experience, we pop up a little 5-star review of the guest experience and of the restaurant. And, you know, we've demonstrably shown that people that use these types of, use Ready are have higher check averages. Mm-hmm. You know, typically use Apple Pay or Google Pay, so more affluent generally. We list the sort of different service factors that generates a 4 or 5-star review. And the number one thing that the number one factor that they attribute to their 5-star or 4-star sort of net promoter score is the mobile payment at the end of the experience. So that just tells you how much pain in payments there are today. And this is also another happy side effect. I think when scheduling staff, there's lots of different ways to schedule staff, but what we've seen out there is just kind of looking at the highest tip percentages, saying, hey, Laurent, you're my best server. You get a 17% average check. Jeremy, you're our second best server. You get a 16% average tip. I'm going to put you on Friday and Saturday nights. What we found is that's not necessarily the case. Getting a Friday night shift or a Saturday night shift kind of generally gives you higher tip percentages. When you look at the data through Ready, we found absolute superstar servers. They're providing great service, but maybe on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night. Soon as you move them to a Friday or Saturday based on real data that's provided by customers, they're generating 20% higher tips, 22% tips because they're such great service. So that was also an unintended consequence of just getting data in the hands of operators. It's like, oh, Jeremy and Laurent are really nice guys. They got Friday and Saturday night shifts, but actually, you know, Kristen,
they should be working the crappy shifts because we're not very good servers, and get the good guys on there.
Yeah, so let's get Kristen on Friday night, and she's going to kill it. She's going to raise check averages and take home 20% tips. And that's something that we didn't expect either, but it's just a lack of visibility. That's the other thing. It's just a lack of visibility of operational data that's not back of house, like front of house data around service level, service staff, table turns. All this stuff is really hard to get. But once you digitize those things, you can now report on them. You can create metrics against them, and you can improve them, which is, I think, a really important thing.
Yeah. So I'm going to pivot just a little bit, just because I'd love to know how you guys solve this or what you guys experience on the data side. Mm. When we started putting technology in the hands of the guests, you know, whether it be with DoorDash and Grubhub and those third-party delivery apps, and or putting technology like what you guys have with Ready into the hands of the guests, oftentimes the modifications and the amount of complexity on the order processing has gone up. Mm-hmm. When I'm sitting at a Chili's and I get a hamburger, you know, cheeseburger, and I'm at a Chili's, I'm sitting in the dining room and I know the lettuce, tomatoes, and onions, and pickles come on the side. I don't necessarily ask for them on the side or not on my burger, but the minute I give the guest the ability to modify that on the fly, I might not tell the server because I just know they come on the side and I don't really care, and I'm just going to take the bun off and put just the one or two items that I might want. But the minute I now give it to them in a digital format, what we found, and I don't know if you guys found the same experience, is that the number of modifications went up somewhere close to 70% from what it was before. That was statistical data that we got from somebody that put tablets at every one of their tables. Did you guys find any of that? And did that create some complexity in the food delivery mechanisms and or the kitchen production timing? Or, you know, was it done in such a way that you didn't experience it as much? Or quite frankly, have you guys not even looked at it? Maybe that's the answer, and I'm good with that too.
No. So managing menus digitally is complex.
Yes.
Period. The end. Right. Period. Especially when you have multiple vendors to do it through. Right. I got, you know, maybe you have DoorDash and you have Uber Eats and you have your internal menu,
and maybe items that aren't allowed to go out to take out that are only in dine in, and all of that.
Yeah. Then you maybe have a digital menu for in. Yeah. So it's just, you got multiple vendors, multiple variables. So yes, we've seen complexity there. I think what we've encouraged, and we have a whole professional services team that supports our customers, is to really think about, you have to really think about your menu in terms of the guest, not in mm-hmm. terms of maybe a legacy point of sale or something else that has a really rigid data structure. And that can be, that mapping is very difficult. Your point of sale might say CHKBGR. You don't want that to show on your digital menu. It should be the Californian chicken burger on a signature bun, right? Yep. And I think that mapping, as well as walking through historical data on what's being modified, as well as thinking about it for efficiency, does take time. And you do need to front load that work. You can get caught off guard with the amount of flexibility, or, you know, nested modifiers is something that when you were talking just jumped right into my brain.
Like, absolutely.
You know, nested modifiers can get really complicated, and all the open comments on that can really just, you know, you're missing revenue possibly because they're opening up.
Add avocado and bacon to this burger, and exactly. You're not getting those items on there. Yep.
Yeah. So I don't think there's a silver bullet there, but there's operational changes you need to make. There's menu sort of design changes you need to make, and you need to work with your vendor to marry that up. It's I don't think we've absolutely nailed it, but we've spent time on and to understand the problem and work with our brands what best suits them. Again, it's not a one size fit all. And point of sale constraints are also there, right? Like, yes. Microsoft has a 19 character limit on open comments, right? So what do you do with that? So it's an interesting problem. So we've seen what you've seen, and we try to front load it in setup, but it's not perfect either.
Yeah, well, and I think some of the third-party delivery companies have just said, screw it, we're just not going to allow you to modify these things, you know, 100%. In certain cases. And I can't stand that personally, because if I want the way I want it, then I want to be able to modify it. And so half the time I end up saying, you know what, I'm not going to go to the digital ordering. I'm just going to pick up the phone and call if I'm doing takeout. But then again,
that's a huge missed opportunity. That happened to me the other day. I was actually getting a sandwich from a very large sandwich, North American sandwich chain that's green and yellow.
They might be the biggest one, maybe.
Yeah, maybe the biggest one. And I couldn't do what I wanted to do. And they gave me an offer. It was like, you know, a meal combo for $5. I'm just great offer. I was like, oh, this is great. I'm going to get on the mobile app. But I couldn't order what I wanted. And it's just like, you've turned an absolutely great opportunity and experience to delight me as a customer, getting what I want for basically half price, and into complete frustration.
So I'm sure you would have been willing to pay the extra $1 or $2 for that add-on to get it for $7 instead of $12, but you couldn't do it. And now you're on a podcast talking about it because you're frustrated.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because it's like, this is a colloquial sort of, it's not a menu item, but it's just so common. Everyone does it. Yep. And it's just not codified in the back end. It's just everyone knows to do this and do that. So, you know, it requires planning, it requires thought, and it requires testing. It's an investment, but I think the benefits, if done to a reasonable level, outweigh the negatives.
I love it. And I would agree with you. I think in general, having some solution for this, unless you're Ruth Chris or you're Morton's, and even then, I would challenge you to say that there is a space for some form of digital, you know, digital communication, digital transformation, even in those real, real high-end fine dining brands. But from the sandwich brand that you talked about, all the way up and through, you know, through lots of different brands, there's ways to have these touch points. Lauren, I'm gonna pivot again one more time on you, real quick, and talk about, you know, competitors. We've had competitors of yours on the show. We've had competitors of yours that have popped up, you know, some that are brand new that started with the pandemic, that, you know, and then there's others that have been around for a while. And you know, talk to me a little bit about what makes Ready different. Why is Ready, and why is it that what you guys are doing such a critical piece to evaluating your guys' platform as it relates to, you know, solving the digital transformation, you know, jigsaw puzzle? Because as you talked about earlier, I only have enough time to invest in, you know, one or two projects a year. And you know what? I got to choose the right one. And if I don't choose the right one, it ends up biting me in the backside. So talk to me a little bit about why Ready is such a unique value proposition for those that aren't already sold on Laurent, and kind of what you've shared with the group today.
Yeah, I think for us is like, we know how busy you are as an operator. So to rip and replace a point of sale, or institute these massive operational changes is a massive negative. And we even find when we try to do that, we're not successful. So what we try to do is work with you and partner with you and use your existing technology and your existing payment provider to elevate your existing experience. So what does that mean in technical terms? One, we integrate with your point of sale. This is not an unintegrated solution. This is an integrated solution from a order management and a point of sale perspective. You're not running a Ready tablet beside your Micros or beside your PosiTouch. You are running, there's no additional hardware required. Second thing is we're not trying to sell you on payment revenue. I think part of the reasons why payment people have bad reputations is, you know, it's not the most transparent way of pricing. It's not the most transparent way of servicing. And I think, restaurant operators are becoming wise to that. So we're not trying to sell you something that you don't understand. We're saying, hey, you work with Chase. Hey, you work with Thesis. Hey, you work with First Data. Great. We're just going to integrate into your payment processor that you have today, which means what? It means you get to bring in your great work rates that you've worked so hard to negotiate over the years, the great service you get from your vendor. And it's the same treasury operations on the backside. So when you're talking to your CFO or your controller, it's like, okay, this is not a different deposit, it's on a different schedule. It's like, oh, this is my Chase account. Perfect. So that takes away a lot of the operational issues. And then the third reason that I think Ready is very different is our share of checkout or our usage rates. So for every 100 people that walk into a restaurant, how many people are using Ready? In the case of digital menu, it's like 80% of people will scan the QR code and look at your digital menu, right? That's that's a really high number. So you're saving on how we train people to introduce Ready is basically asking questions similar to like, are you okay with a digital menu or would you like a paper one? And most people say, I'm fine with a digital menu. And then they'll just scan the QR code. And then that gets them introduced into the digital experience that you're providing at the for the customer, either be a menu, be order to table or pay at table at the end. It's all one integrated experience. So there's a lot of technology solutions that get deployed and it's such a shame because they never get used and they're just collecting dust. And you're like, oh, lunch bag letdown. I just got a cheese and butter sandwich. because I wanted, you know, I was so excited about this. I opened this bag up and I get nothing. And I spend time and investment. And it's because the product isn't, it's not a product that is guest first. It's really a back office
tech for
solution.
Tech sake. Yeah.
Tech for tech sake. Exactly. Yep. And what we're trying to do is actually empower them. So we see share of checks. So share of digital means 80, 90% share of
checks.
That's
checkout. Amazing.
Yeah, share of checkout can actually get up to 80%. Again, our average is more in the high 30s or low 30s. So a third of people are self-checking out. So you think about that. One third of your table turns are going 20 minutes faster.
That's amazing.
So if you have a product that people use, you can generate real benefits that are transformational across your organization, especially if you're a large chain. Think about 30% of your tables turning 21 minutes faster across a 500 unit chain. It's a massive amount. Yeah. It's a massive amount of impact. And so that's what I think. I think that's the number one thing that we stand behind is like people, if you select Ready, people will use it and you will get your ROI. Whereas I'm not sure that's the case with anyone else, to be honest.
Absolutely. I love it. Thank you. And I know it was a little bit of a curveball, but I know that not only have there been others on the show before, but you know what? There's people that have popped up. You know, you guys have been around doing this a little bit longer, but there's people that have popped up and said, I can solve that. And, you know, they might have a point solution that's just doing one or both or, you know, but a lot of those value propositions that you talked about from the payment side to the integration with the existing point of sale, it's not an extra piece of tech. It's not tech for tech's sake. Those are all huge value adds. The last question I'm going to ask you, and again, I don't know, half the time I don't know the answers to these questions. So I'm going to give you guys a little bit of inside baseball, those that are out listening. Where are you guys at on the international scale? I mean, you guys started in Canada, you know, Canadian-based company, but do a lot of stuff in the U.S. Talk to me a little bit about those brands that might be, you know, in U.S. and Canada, you know, Canada and Mexico. Talk to me a little bit about how you guys have potentially solved that that equation, because I think that to me is also a little bit of a uniqueness if you can solve that, because a lot of people focus on the U.S. market, only the U.S. market, and if you guys can solve some of those things, it makes it a huge value proposition for those that might be on both sides of the border.
Yeah, that it sounds like you maybe had the Zoom link to our product roadmap meeting the other day, because internationalization and localization is a big focus for us right now. So so we're fully integrated into all those payment providers that we talked about in Canada, the U.S. Today we're operating in both geographic regions, and we are looking to support those. Typically, it's actually the same brands, but in Mexico through a franchise group, or it could be corporate as well. So that's something that we're looking at. We do have absolute desires to grow our geographic base. We think, you know, there's 22 million restaurants worldwide, about a million of them. Yeah, in the U.S., 11 million people are employed, and shrinking, unfortunately, but 11 million people are employed by the restaurant industry. In the United States alone, this is a massive industry, right? And while the U.S. is a fantastic market for us, we think these products and services can help everyone in every geographic location. And we're working with some Mexican partners today that believe that as well. So, you know, we don't have any plans for sort of ex-North America at this point. We're really focused on Canada, the U.S. primarily, but we are planning to enter the Mexican market to support those Canadian and U.S. brands that have locations in Mexico as well. So, and then
I promise you I wasn't on the product roadmap call for those listeners out there like, he must have set them up. I really didn't know the answer exactly to that question before I asked them.
It's funny. I think it's interesting. Sometimes the U.S. is a laggard in payment and technology solutions, especially in restaurants. Like, look at EMV, for example. And sometimes it's at the forefront. And I think in this case, it is at the forefront. And it's starting to grow. There's other solutions out there that have started in Europe or that are coming to the U.S. But I think we're going to plant our flag there as well.
I love it. I love it. So I'm now a listener. I've sat out here and listened to everything that you've had to say and said, you know what? I really want to know more. Where do they go? What, how do they check you guys out? How do they get engaged with some people on your team to figure out what the next steps are on, evaluating what Ready's doing and taking the next steps?
I think the best way is to hit our website up, which is readytopay.com. There you'll see all of our products and services. And we're actually running some special offers over the summertime to support your, you know, summertime is typically the highest sales time for our restaurant partners. So we're trying to get them ready for summer is the idea.
I love it. Yeah. You guys just keep playing on that word ready, don't you?
Well, it's funny. Every time I write it in an email or something that's not ready, I capitalize it, and people think I'm trying to be cute, but it's just out of habit.
I love it.
Yeah, but yeah, check us out at the readytopay.com. There's different ways to contact us. You can fill out a form, or there's a live chat bot. Feel free to hit me up on LinkedIn as well if you want to have a more of a personalized conversation about something. It's a good time to reach out because we're filling up our implementation schedule, and we have some special offers for our partners to come in and get ready.
I love it. Well, while you guys are out checking out Ready, go subscribe to the newsletter. If you go to restauranttechnologyguys.com, you'll see a pop-up that'll show up to subscribe to the newsletter. Once a month newsletter comes to your inbox with all the blog posts and podcasts that are out there. Again, while you're online, go share this episode with a friend and or give it a rating on your favorite podcast player. As I said on the onset, let me know if you guys want to hear from some other cool pieces of tech that are out there, because that's halftime where these things come from. Laurent, thank you very much for, quite frankly, the wisdom, the guidance, and sharing a little bit about the journey that you guys have been on at Ready, but not just that, sharing as much about where you see the restaurant tech industry going, because I think we need more people that are leading the way into not just solving the problem that they want, but how do they make the restaurant industry thrive for years to come? Because I think a lot of us are really passionate, as you talked about, 11 million people are employed in this industry. And I love that that you guys are trying to solve some really cool stuff there.
Well, it was a pleasure chatting with you, Jeremy. Thank you so much for your time.
And to our listeners out there, guys, we know that you guys have got tons of choices. We appreciate you guys' time, and make it a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast. Visit restauranttechnologyguys.com for tips, industry insights, and more to help you run your restaurant better.